Gary Clark.
Talk Show.
Recorded live.
Greetings and welcome to Mystery Babylon News Radio on November 9th, 2013. Tonight, it's the third series today. It's the third series of a time such as this with my co-host, Wayne Michael. And just a little reminder here, we've been doing three broadcasts a week, and we do one every Sunday, and we do one with Jurk Glisman of Belgium. We just started a new one, The Jesuits Derooting the Reformation, and then here on Saturday, Wayne Michaels does a time such as this. So anyway, with that, Mike, welcome to the broadcast.
Thank you, Walt. Greetings, York. Blessed be our Heavenly Father, who sent His Son that He may save us. Blessed be the listenership this great Sabbath day. And I pray, Heavenly Father, that the eyes and ears may be opened, the minds and hearts may be opened, and the perception perceived and received with all joy and gladness and all thanksgiving, the debt Your Son has paid, that we may have eternal life in Your kingdom. I ask that You bless the listenership and bless us also, and that it may grow, increase, bring blessings to You in Your name, Your Son's name. In Yeshua's name I ask all things. Thank You, Father. Okay, folks, today is November 9th, 1688, was the date of the Glorious Revolution. That is the date of today. I'm going to jump right into this thing where we left off. We're going to start talking about John Carroll. He's who founded Georgetown University, where all this Jesuit spirituality and the word education is coming from, that is prompted and promoted so much in society today that the children are so dumbfounded, dumbstruck, deceived, and delusioned, they cannot even hold a conversation with another person. All they know is how to play video games and the tools and toys and trinkets given them by their parents to keep them out of their hair. We're in a sad state, folks. It is as the days of Noah. And certainly the people need to awaken from sleep and pray that the God of heaven through His Son, Yeshua, may have mercy on them and awaken them from this deep sleep. 2 Thessalonians 2, 1 through 8 depicts clearly the state of mind. I suggest we all seek it in most humility. Okay, John Carroll, 1735 to 1815. He was Daniel Carroll's younger brother. He was educated in Europe, and he joined the most despised, undisputed order upon this earth, who we stand so vehemently against. The Society of Jesus, the Jesuit order of priests, the satanic sun-worshipping cult, the death cult. He was ordained a priest. He founded a private school for boys. I wonder why that would be, folks. It wasn't for religious purposes, I assure you. And he named it after the town where it was located, Georgetown. This is where all the laws are created. It has nothing to do with the Roman Senate on Capitol Hill. It's a port on the Potomac River that later became part of Washington, District of Columbia. We all know who Mr. Columbus was, don't we? He went on to be elected by all the Catholic priests in America to become America's first Catholic bishop. He later became the Archbishop of Baltimore. any procession of American bishops, the Archbishop of Baltimore always goes last in recognition. It goes last in recognition, folks, of its role as America's oldest diocese. They always want to stay undercover, just like your vice president you don't hear nothing about. He also is a Jesuit priest, which has nothing, absolutely nothing, to do with religion, but is a political war machine of the Vatican. Georgetown, a port of the Potomac River, later became part of Washington, D.C. He went on to be elected by the Catholic priests in America to become America's first Catholic bishop. Okay. He later became Archbishop of Baltimore, Maryland, named after the Queen of Heaven. And in any procession of American bishops, the Archbishop always goes last in recognition. I just want to read this again, of its role as America's oldest diocese. Okay, now, in 1789... which is 13, the number 13 plus 1776, 13 stars, stripes, colonies, one of the largest satanic occult numbers of rebellion out of the book of Genesis there is. John Carroll founded the College of Georgetown that later became known as Georgetown University. And again, this is where all the laws are created. During a period of Revolutionary War, it was going badly, so George Washington asked John Carroll to join a mission to go to Canada to seek his ally in support of the French for the colonies. Along with him were Benjamin Franklin, Samuel Chase, and Charles Carroll of Carrollton. Now, while it failed, it established a relationship with the French. And France was actually the 14th colony, but you don't hear mention of that too often. It was much influenced by the Catholic faith they held in common with the Carroll family. It bore fruit years later at Yorktown, where the largely Catholic-financed French fleet cut off supplies to the British general Charles Cornwallis, and Washington was able to force Cornwallis to surrender and bring the war to an end. Now, John Carroll was an intimate friend of George Washington, an intimate friend. They lived right across the river in the Potomac from one another. And they partied together, hung out together, and obviously had their mindset together. He wrote a prayer at the time of Washington's inauguration, asking God's blessing on the President, Congress, and the government of the United States, which was totally Roman Catholic, Lucifer sun worship, Babylon mystery religion, 666. And it is a prayer that is still very much in use today. Now, out of gratitude for John Carroll's support during the war, George Washington gave a modified version of the seal of the United States to the institution that is now called Georgetown University. And that seal is still in use. Now, despite their enormous contributions to the American founding, the three Carrolls somehow fell below the radar screen of recognition as being full-fledged founding fathers. Call no man father. Hello? Now, that is not an oversight. The Carrolls chose to stay under the radar, which is Jesuitry at its finest. Gentlemen, have you anything to add or take away from this comment so far?
Well, I'd like to just comment. Wayne is, on the three Carrolls somehow well fell below the radar screen of recognition. I think we, as full-fledged founding fathers, you explain a little bit more plainer why Charles Carroll chose to stay under the radar and not be in front of the fight.
Well, he supported the war 100%.
And also, he helped finance the war.
Well, that's what I'm speaking. Absolutely.
Yes.
We discussed that in the previous show. Yes, 100%. Yes.
Yeah. Absolutely. Well, and he was the wealthiest man. You see, you can't say this enough. You can't say this enough. You have to because this is completely left out. You can ask the average person on the street, and they do not know about the carols.
Correct.
And I don't say this. I say this humbly and with patience and gentleness. You know, you do not. You can. There's no way you'll ever understand the American Revolution if you don't understand the carols.
Well, Brother Walt, this is why I wrote this whatever you want to call this. You know, exposing these people that are supposed to be preachers or teachers or whatever they consider themselves, standing in supposedly, and I say supposedly, against the Jesuit order, out of one side of their mouth, but the other, they never mention the carols, they never mention the founding of this country. It's all a deception and a lie to lead the people away from the true reason this government was founded, and by whom.
Yes, yes, but also, understand, people that are stopping by and might listen to this that are in the secular world, we're given a biblical, and we're given a biblical account of some history here, and the religious side of the American Revolution, and I'd like to just P.D. Stewart, he makes this one little paragraph. He says that religion played a major role in the American Revolution is beyond dispute. In 1776, at the time of the Declaration of Independence, there were little over 23 priests in all, and the next highest authority was the vicar apostolic in London, who had jurisdiction over the British colonies and satellites in America. The American Revolutionary War of Independence soon changed that. So, in other words, this is P.D. Stewart's book, Code Word Babylon. This is the 34 out of the 31st chapter. This is another thing that the average person, I didn't know this 3 or 4 years ago, and I can't expect because the Jesuitical schools, they don't teach any history anymore.
No.
So,
just all spirituality.
It's spirituality.
Just for the audience's sake, to give credence, Stuart. Who was Stuart regarding England? Who was the Stuart family?
Say that again, Mike. I didn't understand that.
Who was the Stuart family regarding England? You said this man's name is P.D. Stuart. Who was the Stuart family?
Well, this is just an author. Let me see if P.D. Stewart is he's an author, and he wrote a book. But I don't think he's related to the Stewarts. I mean, I don't know that for us, so I'm not going to go there. You know, I mean, this is a very good book. I highly recommend it. It's one of the few books that connects the dots between the Jesuits and Freemasonry. Solidly, you see, this is what keeps people off the track of America is the fact that they don't see the Jesuit connection, and they don't see the religious side of it because Freemasonry took on the guise of Protestantism, took on the facade of Protestantism. And so, but anyway, like Stuart is not, he's not, I have no way of knowing that he would be related to the Stuarts, the kings. Is that what you're referring to?
Yes, absolutely. Yep. Anyway. Acknowledgement is given to Charles Carroll Carter, the Catholic Founding Fathers, the Carroll Family, Crisis 19, number 3, March 2001. Page 32 and 3. This article is reprinted with permission from the Morley Institute, which is a nonprofit educational organization. If anyone would like to subscribe to the Crisis Magazine, the number is 1-800-852-9. 1-800-852-9962. 1-800-852-9962. Okay, the author, Charles Carroll Carter, is on the Board of Trustees. I understand this is a Catholic document I've been reading. I like to use their own against them. But we're not just slandering this out of the air, these things. Out of the House of Annapolis, which is Maryland, is the birthplace of Charles Carroll of Carrollton, direct descendant of Daniel Carroll of Rock Creek. That's where my dad kept his boat, like I said last week, Lou Docious Boatyard. Now, regardless of all the biblical futuristic world events described in the book of Revelation, they're all yet to begin the very day they set up the false Messiah Pope in Jerusalem. All the people want to say, oh, we're at the fifth Trump, we're at the sixth Trump, we're at this, we're at that. They don't know the Bible a bit more than they know the man on the moon. And I don't say that out of arrogance, but it is a fact. They do not understand the Bible. And if you would like to understand these things, you may read the article on my website, which is avenueoflight.com, The Abomination That Desolates. And it openly exposes this whole thing biblically of what's going on here. excuse me. It's not the time or the place to do that today. I will at a later time discuss this very, very, very openly.
Say, Wayne?
Yes.
Could you explain the term grand design and where that came from?
It's basically the Great Seal. I mean, it's all the same, the abomination that desolates, the grand design, the back of the dollar bill. It's setting the Pope in Jerusalem.
Yes. Well, in John Daniel's book, The Grand Design Exposed, that title isn't something that John gave it. That the
right.
Grand Design is actually comes out of Catholicism, of Roman publications.
Right, yeah. Yep, yep, that's for sure.
So when you go to my website, Grand Design Exposed, we're just exposing the grand design.
Right, we're trying to make known to the people what the biblical teaching in the book of Revelation and Daniel is explicitly stating.
And what the grand design, this is not our interpretation or this comes out of Roman Catholic publications. They do have a grand design that they're working on. That's what I just want to do. So when John Daniels did is put grand design exposing the grand design. That's
and
what
Vatican Design Exposed. They use their terminology.
Yes.
To expose what their great purpose is.
Yeah. I believe Malachi Martin mentions the grand design.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Many times in his book. He wrote several books, but you know. Anyway, that's all I wanted to add.
Okay. Now, regarding these abomination that desolates. Desolates means void, without life, without inhabitant. And to see the whole world is deceived, like the Bible says, are deceived, will be deceived, and have been deceived. And Satan has secured the spirits and souls of most people on this earth. And you see, they're all waiting for their Messiah, and I'm going to just skim on this. It's to plant the seeds in your mind so y'all can study these things maybe on your own if you have an interest. They're all waiting for their Messiah, whoever they name him. I don't care what they name him. It doesn't matter what they name him. Every religion's got another name for their Messiah, but they're all waiting for him to set up in Jerusalem. Well, the Bible in John 14, 1 through 3 states these words. Well, before that, I'll say this. The second coming of Yeshua is imminent and at hand. It's not 1,000 years, 500 years, 50 years from now, and I'm not a date setter. But man, oh man, open your eyes and look around you. All these things are set up and in place. This is what the prophets long for to see these days that we live in right now. Look at your children. How many are talking about the things we talk about? I mean, how empty is it out here? The spirit is dead out here. The day the final Antichrist is set up in Jerusalem shall be 3.5 years later that the Messiah comes through the clouds, which are angels, his mode of transportation, to gather his bride, and that's out of the book of Isaiah. You can check that out. To take them back to the kingdom, which is in heaven, for the wedding feast the Father has given his Son. Now, John 14:1-3 in your Bible says, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. Now, if it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself. I don't read rapture there. Hello. That where I am, there you may be also. And again, I ask you, is he in Jerusalem? Come on, folks, wake up. Is he in Jerusalem? No, he's not. But they're going to set this Antichrist up over there, the final Antichrist that deceiveth the whole world. Read Daniel 7:23 for yourself. Read Revelation 13:3-8, 11-18. You know, I got many, many scriptures I can give you on these things. But anyway, I'm not going to dwell on this. It's not today's purpose. This will be at a later time given, as I said. It says, for we here have no continuing city, but we seek one to come. That's from the book of Hebrews 13:14. This is not the Jesuit-created secret rapture, the event, the catching away hoax, for every eye shall behold his majesty. It says, heaven shall be totally empty for the space of half an hour. This is a one-time, one-phase event. This is known as the first resurrection, which Hebrew 11 depicts as being man's only hope. Now, Paul names this as the blessed hope, as the appearing of our Messiah. The ones that come with the Messiah to gather his bride, which are the wheat, are angelic beings. They're not humans. You see, your relatives are not looking down from heaven at you, praying for you to come. They're dead in the grave asleep, awaiting the promise. And if they are in the Messiah's hand, they'll be in the first resurrection when he told us to pray to be in. If not, they'll be in the second, which is the resurrection of the damned, which is 1,000 years later than the first. And there shall not be a life form upon this earth for that 1,000-year, 7,000th-year Sabbath. And that is a mouthful, but that's on my site, as I said, the abomination that desolates. All the scriptures are there, too. The first resurrection occurs at the same time as the second coming, which begins the millennium, the 1,000-year Sabbath, an allegory of the seventh-day Sabbath. Now, the biblical tribulation, this is labeled the short space, which is a literal 1,260 days. 3.5 years, 40 and 2 months, time times and the dividing of time, time times and a half. This is Daniel's time of trouble. This is also an allegory of the 1,260-year dark ages of the little horn power of Rome during the Inquisition. This is when the abomination that desolates maketh desolate, which is void of life. And a few scriptures to go with that, 2 Thessalonians 1:7-10, 2 Peter 3:10-13, Revelation 20:21-4, Jeremiah 2:12, Jeremiah 4:25-26. And you can replay this broadcast to get those scriptures or go to my website. It's all up there. So Yeshua says he's going to cut it short for the sake of the elect, for if he did not, no flesh would be spared. That's how bad this is going to be, folks. This Inquisition is going to be worse this time than it ever has been since this earth was created, and nobody's even out here looking. They're just kumbaya, football, TV, sports, American Idol. I can't promote that enough because it makes me want to throw up. He's coming to destroy those, the Bible says. He says he's going to destroy those who are destroying the earth. And I ask people, is he going to destroy himself? Everybody wants to blame him. And the end of the book of Revelation says they blaspheme God rather than repent. I could imagine the same thing probably happened during Noah's time. Noah, you're crazy. It never rained here. What are you talking about, a flood? What are you talking about? So they shall crown the Pope, and his title was Pontifex Maximus, Pontifex Maximus. He is the high priest and the sovereign pontiff of the system of Luciferian satanic sun worship, set up in God's holy city, Jerusalem, becoming the counterfeit imposter, the false messiah, the end days final antichrist, son of perdition, dictator, pope, deceiving the whole world. Satan's tool. Now, Lucifer sun worship, Babylon mystery religion, 666, which is Roman Catholicism, is the tail end of this system. And the final Antichrist, man of sin, son of perdition, false messiah, pope, as its sovereign high priest. And here, this is something I dug up out of a dictionary. It says the individual governing body. That's what Vatican State is now, okay? One in whom the supreme power of a state or nation is vested, a monarch or a ruler, exercising or possessing supreme authority, jurisdiction, or power, a sovereign state. Okay, the Fourth Lateran Council. But therefore all those who have been forbidden, now listen to this now. Let therefore all those who have been forbidden and not sent to preach, and yet dare publicly or privately usurp the office of preaching, without having received the authority of the apostolic see or the Catholic bishop of the place, be bound with the bond of excommunication, and unless they repent very quickly, be punished by another suitable penalty. That'd be death, folks. That'd be the blood decree. So you can't even preach the Messiah out here, the Bible. Do you not see this all coming everywhere you look, everywhere you listen? On the TV, even much little as I watch this stupid little idiot box up here. That's all they talk about. This one being locked up, that one being locked up. This one's on a computer, that one's on there. We're taking them all away. That's what the Jesuit CIA, FBI is all about. And you can look on the site, in the great and terrible day of the Lord, I have under the abomination that desolate. It's also up in my Bible studies on my website. And it gives all the scriptures relating to the Old and New Testament and the second coming, the first resurrection, which is the great and terrible day of Messiah. I don't really like using the word Lord anymore because it refers to Baal, and I'd rather not be accountable for such things. In conclusion, if the Roman Catholic Church and the Jesuit order have made such strides and advances to bring England and America under submission and under Rome's total control, let us ponder, if you will, exactly what they're fomenting right now behind the scenes against the whole world, and have been, folks. Now, we have the greatest spy working for us that ever was, and truly he is the enemy's enemy. He's foretold 2,000 years ago all that is to pass. He is the light in the darkness and the only. He is the living water. Now, how miserably angry it must make Satan, exposing all these plans so far in advance. Now, he alone can, has, and did tell us the end long before it was to pass, and acknowledge he is God. And praised be his name and his son's name. And for a time such as this. And folks, I totally believe that we are living in the end days now. And the Messiah is there to hold holding his hand out for you to take a hold of it. All you got to do is open the door yourself. He won't open the door for you. You have to want it. And it's free. It is free. You have to be sorry for what you've done in your life and make willing to change. The thief on the cross, look at that. The last minute, he was still forgiven because of his heart was pure. He was sorry for what he had done. And folks, I plead with you with all that I have. Reach out to your Savior today, that you may be in God's kingdom. And may these words and instructions be of great encouragement and hope to all. And what we're looking straight in the face of is such a magnitude that most cannot even comprehend what comes. So much information is being thrown across the web, which is a net, most of which is to confuse, distort, cloud, distract, lead astray, wasting your time and your mind to keep you entertained. So you remain unaware of what really has been and is taking place right before your eyes. Behind the scenes, the scenario that is coming with such utter devastation, and may make God's people long and yearn for the blessed hope, the second coming and the first resurrection and the appearing of our Messiah, Yeshua. The greatest one single one-time event in man's 6,000 years on this earth. And sadly, the most people that I meet and speak with out here, they have no clue, no interest, no desire. They've been so dumbed down, so deceived by this group of people, the Society of Jesus, who we're standing in opposition to. They have no clue where they are in timeline of history. It's as if a spirit of darkness has clouded their eyes. I pray the Messiah may lift it out of mercy and grace, that he didn't come in vain, that he would have love for these people to this day. The reason he laid his life down, that you may.
It's something there.
Please do, sir. Please do.
You are talking about how the people are brainwashed today and how they are distracted by American Idol and all this Hollywood movies and TV series and all that stuff.
Yes, sir.
But you are absolutely right with that. And, you know, I just want to point out for people who cannot get a grasp on that, there were two major inventions in the human history that changed all of mankind. The first was around the time that we have the Reformation, the book print.
Yes, indeed, the Bible, brother. Yes, sir.
Of course, the Bible is the first book that was heavily printed and distributed, and the Reformation could have never taken place without the technique of book printing. Because in all the years before that, books were written by hand, copied by hand, left in libraries, hidden from the people normally. But with the invention of the book print, you have the possibility to spread the news around. And that's the same that we have had in the 90s, late 90s, with the Internet. That's the other big invention. But the problem is, with the invention of the book printing, people really started reading books, started reading history, started reading the Bible, and started to understand why we are here. And with the internet, all they use it for is Lady Gaga watching porn sites, watching more Hollywood movies instead of going to the cinema, watching it online at home, and all that stuff,
yep.
And using the distraction instead of doing research.
Right.
And before the television was invented, and even before the radio was invented, you have to see people gathered together in the evening at home, in the family. They made a circle around the fire, mostly in the kitchen because it was the warmest place. They had something to eat, and they talked to three generations living under one roof, exchanging experiences, exchanging things they have gone through, exchanging gospel, talking about the Bible, talking about things. And with the invention of the radio, and surely with the invention of television, which is a static invention, the certain Mr. Aleister Crowley that some of our listeners maybe know about was involved in, surely after that, all this disappeared. And that helped the so-called elite to destroy the family as the smallest social unit.
Right.
And that's what they are doing today, and that's why we are in the cahoots that we are today, if I may say that so.
Yep. None have an interest in the scripture, for the most part. You know, they'd rather make worry about something to eat, what they're having to eat, their clothes. And of course, you know, I can't fully blame the people because the Jesuits have put so much of an overload. The women are forced to work today. They're being suffocated because of, you know, the cost of everything out here, trying to raise their children. They can't stay home and homeschool now. If they can, it's truly a blessing from God, and they have to make great sacrifices. And most women are not really prepared to do that. And it's this hypnotism, indoctrination, blindsidedness that this organization has set forth through the government of this country and worldwide to bring the whole world into submission under satanic doctrine. All the education, 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 that's all they talk about. Everybody's going to have 4 years of college to get a job sweeping the street out here. You know, it's a joke because they want you indoctrinated with their Babylonian sun worship, right from Jesuit Ignatius Loyola theology. And
no,
you try to tell the kids this, and I try to tell my own because I love them. I could leave them out here and just go on. But I love my kids, man. I've never shut up to them. I've never celebrated Christmas with them, Easter with them, tooth fairies with them. They can't sit here and say that I'm a hypocrite. I've not been an alcoholic around them. I gave all that up for these kids. Not a drug addict. All these things I've gave up for these kids. So I couldn't be held accountable for them. And this ain't about me, but the one who gave his life for me. And I've laid down my life for him now. And before this is over, most of us, it's going to cost us our lives.
Yeah.
And this is the mindset we've got to have, that we can't give up no matter what. That we have a crown of life waiting for us. Haven't you eaten at Satan's table long enough, audience? Isn't it time you want to eat at the Savior's table? Aren't you tired of living in darkness? I'm not out here passing plates for money in these lavish buildings and driving Rolls Royces and Lear jets. I'm not about all that.
I'd like to make a comment on.
Please do.
Pepper Sausage book. It goes right along with what York was saying. On page 73 and 74 of Pepper Sausage book, he makes this is the paragraph. He says, during its 4 centuries of existence, the Jesuit education theatrical enterprise has produced a proud, poised, and imaginative graduate. he or she is enlightened by the the Medici Libraries Humanities, the facade in worldly matters, moved by theatrically and indifferent towards Holy Scripture, producing Jesuitic graduates has become the aim of the modern public education. Despite the heavy price of ignoring Scripture, and in parentheses he's got, which as Luther warned in the Columbine murders attest, has indeed turned the public schools into widened gates of hell. Jesuit theater and the spiritual exercises, I might say right here that it was the Jesuits who invented the magic lantern, the projector, the theatrics, the theaters we go to. That was invented by the Jesuits. Jesuit theater and the spiritual exercises, whose original purpose was to bring human understanding into papal subservience through esoteric emotional experiences, have evolved into the full pandemonium of contemporary social communications. The great, now this is the punchline. This is what it's all about. The great object of obscuring Scripture has operated to discourage the formal study of the basis of which the Bible is the cornerstone of literature, science, and history. And that's why we see all of this postmodernism and all of this that's came about, creation versus evolution, is to discredit the Bible. And in Timothy warns us, O Timothy, keep that which is committed to thy trust. Avoid profane and vain babblings and oppositions of science falsely so called. 1 Timothy 6:20. Because you see, I'm not going to go there, but they have captured science. Now, there's people will be hard pressed to explain, because the Bible is very scientific, and people will be hard pressed to explain what is around us and what they see on a day to day basis, because it's been hijacked, and every single university in this world has, you know. In other words, you go to a university as a sponge. You don't go there to critical think.
Well, I have a friend of mine. Interject one thing. You see, they start this now, the parents, when the children are sent off to daycare, they become wards of the state. Of course, a person don't know, but when you get a marriage license, the children are already deemed wards of the state, legally. Then, of course, nobody searches that out. But they go to daycare. Well, you know, I got to work. She's got to work. So we're going to put them in daycare. So who's training your children? Exactly.
Great.
And then they go 1 through 12 years of college, 12 disciples, 12. And then you got your little 4 years of college after that, just so you can sweep the street outside for minimum wage.
You got degrees. You got
the prince and the pauper.
Well, we have to consider that there is a big, big difference between education and indoctrination.
Yeah, but they're being indoctrinated, just what you're pointing out. They're not being educated. Squat.
No, absolutely. They think they are being educated, but they're
right.
Not being indoctrinated.
Give them a little piece of paper and say, hey, look what you accomplished. Nothing. Well, we know all about numbers, calculus, trig. We know all that, man. We know it. See, now, when I was in school, my own self now, I'm 59 years old, taking electronics, and I had 9 months to go to degree, but unfortunately, I like drugs, women, and partying too much more, and I left. But nonetheless, that's all they wanted to teach you, even back then, was calculus and trigonometry. Slide rule, you know, and a whole deal. And now I see with my son, that's all he's brainwashed with. And they would come home from school, 6 and 8 hours work. Sometimes he's up to 3 o'clock in the morning doing his book work. You know, and I laughed at myself, and I think it's a crying shame and a sin how blindsided this world is. They don't know any better. They don't know any different. You know, they're caught up. There's almost no communication. The communication between the family breaks down. The divorce rate is just skyrocketing more and more every day you breathe. Women take men for granted and spit them out like a piece of rag or something. We don't need no man. We don't need no man. We got all these toys we have. And it's not funny. It's sick. It's sad. It's sad. It's pitiful. The pride, it's just everything against what God teaches.
Yeah,
and,
some
and
days ago we were talking about the daughters of Zion. Where in the Bible can you find that, Mike?
I didn't understand
part.
Dork. I'm sorry. Say it again, please.
A few weeks ago we were talking about this when you cited something about the daughters of Zion.
Yes.
Maybe it's interesting when you can just look that up now. I don't know where you found that in the Bible. I found that so intriguing. And when you analyze that word by word, because I had trouble to understand because, you know, English is not my native language. I asked myself, okay, what is this? What does this mean? Mm-hmm. But that was such an interesting part to read in the Bible. When you put that into the society that we have today, it is so obvious. It is so clear.
Right.
I mean, it's right in your face.
Yeah.
I don't know if you can.
That's in Isaiah chapter 3. You see, I share this with the women I speak with. Not to bust their chops, not to break them down, not to overrule them and ride them.
But to try to
show them what this vicious group of people have done to the societies here. The scripture says my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. And they are.
And it goes on further.
And what's the rest of it, Brother Walt? Because you've rejected knowledge. What is it?
Yes. Yeah, I don't have it right there. I'm going for
I
it.
I shall reject ye also.
Yes, yes. It's coming up. I mean, because that's real important. And I used to always... say the first part of that verse, but we need to be, when we quote that verse, we need to say the whole verse. You know, my e-sword is loading right now. I should have had the sword out before I talked about that.
Yep.
Because I want to be, when it's coming up here, I want to briefly say this before I say this, before I quote Hosea 6:4. I have a friend of mine that's got straight A's in college down in, he went to Berkeley, California. I mean, California, you know. Now listen, I don't care who it is. I don't care who it is. I don't care what they're studying, but if they get straight A's, and this is how he explained it to me. He said, "Now, Walt, don't be impressed with me." He said, "I got a good memory."
Yep.
He said, in other words, he'd go into a class, and I'll tell you, the desk that I have my computer on, he built a box for my refrigerator out there outside. I mean, he's a very, you know, we didn't learn all this stuff at college, but He's got a bright bulb, and I would say his bulb is a little brighter than mine. But I'm not trying to run myself down. But anyway, back to Hosea here. I got to. Okay. I don't think that's. I forget where that's not 6:4. Which
four,
one is
six.
That?
4:6.
It's 4:6. Yeah. Yeah. My
York, Isaiah chapter 3 is what you're looking for.
Yeah.
Yes, I have it open. I'm reading it right now. I mean,
okay, I just want to make sure you heard me. That's all. I'm sorry. Go ahead,
Lord. Yeah, I did. It would be nice maybe for our listeners if you could read it up, because, you know, when I read it, I always stumble upon the words, but maybe if you could explain something from, I mean, about verse 10 on something, where it really goes into the path.
You got that in front of you, Mike?
No, I don't right now, Walter. It's simple. I can open the Bible. Go ahead and read what you're reading. Go ahead.
Okay, I think that's a good idea. That's at Isaiah chapter 3 there. We had
read what you're reading. Go ahead.
But that is an interesting study, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It's my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge because thou hast rejected knowledge. I will also reject thee that thou shalt be no priest to me, seeing thou hast forgotten the law of thy God. I will also forget thy children. You know, I mean, in other words, there's more to that verse than my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. To really understand that verse, we have to read the whole thing, you know. Yeah.
Yeah. All right. This is Isaiah chapter 3. And I'll just read, I'm going to skim. This starts at 5. And the people shall be oppressed, every one by another, and every one by his neighbor. The child shall behave himself proudly against the ancient, and the base against the honorable. As for my people, verse 12, children are their oppressors. Women rule over them. O my people, they which lead thee cause thee to err and destroy the way of thy paths. The Lord standeth up to plead and stand to judge the people. The Lord will enter into judgment with the ancients of his people and the princes thereof. For you have eaten up the vineyard, the spoil of the poor is in your houses. And what mean you that you beat my people to pieces and grind the faces of the poor, saith the Lord God of hosts? I'm reading out of the King James Bible, folks. I think it's the best version out here, and yes, it's been altered also. Moreover, the Lord saith, because the daughters of Zion are haughty and walk with stretched necks, stretched forth necks, and wanton eyes, walking and mincing as they go and making a tinkling with their feet. That's because all the jewelry they're wearing now. Therefore, the Lord will smite them with a scab, the crown of the head of the daughters of Zion. The Lord will discover their secret parts. And in that day, the Lord will take away the bravery of their tinkling ornaments about their feet and their cowls and their round tires like a moon. That's talking about their fatness. The chains and the bracelets and the mufflers, the bonnets and the ornaments of the legs, the headbands, the tablets and the earrings, the rings and the nose jewels, and the titty piercings and the tummy piercings and all the other piercings, the changeable suits of apparel, the mantles, the wimples, the crisping pins. That's all stuff for your hats and whatever. The simplest thing, if you know, to learn this like I did when I was studying these things, was get yourself a dictionary and just look the words up. You know, it's not hard. You don't have to go to 5 million different things to find what this means. Just get a good old dictionary and look up the words. Look up the word rapture. Look up the word Christmas. Look up the word Easter. They're all lies. They're all hoaxes. Anyway, the glasses and the fine linen and the hoods, which covers your head, you know, the veils cover your face. And it shall come to pass, and instead of sweet smell, there shall be stink. Instead of a girdle, a tear, a rent. Instead of well-set hair, baldness. And instead of a stomacher, a girding of sackcloth. And burning instead of beauty. My God is a consuming fire. And thy men shall fall by the sword, and the mighty men in the war. And her gates shall lament and mourn, and she being desolate, without life, void, empty, shall sit upon the ground. You see, folks, all the people, too, are still thinking that Jerusalem, that Jesus Christ, the Savior, is going to come set his kingdom up in Jerusalem and save the whole world, and everybody's going to sing Kumbaya. Well, guess what? What I just read you out of my website and the teaching that the Bible really teaches, and not what these so-called preachers, pastors, whatever they are, lie to you and tell you, states exactly the opposite through the Messiah's own words. Now, back to this teaching here, you see the women, look at the women, the mindset, man. That's what I'm talking about. They spit a man out today, and they laugh about it. You know, I have to go somewhere three times a week because of my health, and I won't disclose it, but nonetheless, I go. And, you know, these women, they laugh about spitting these men out and using them like a piece of dish rag or something. And I just sit there in amazement and listen to these people. They don't even realize the pride that has engulfed their minds. Their hearts are hardened and cold, and they're just dead inside. We're in a sad state, folks. We're in a sad state. The pride is just so great. Don't tell me nothing. I know everything. Then the people want to say to you, oh, well, the Bible, that's everybody's interpretation. Well, 1 Peter 1:20 states plainly, the Bible is of no special interpretation. So you read it, and that's what it means, period. You don't need a priest. You don't need a pastor. You don't need to pass plates for money for somebody to tell you what the Bible reads. You need to get off your lazy ass and read it. Period. And that is the bottom line truth. It's time to awaken from sleep. The time is far spent, folks. And you must forgive my anger sometimes because I've done this for so long. I'm weary. I get weary. Like you're talking.
Well, when you get the feeling of talking against ignorant walls, it's normal that you get a little bit of
loudness. I do.
I know. I have just the same, because when you have the feeling that you speak against walls, it's so frustrating, you know.
Nobody cares. Nobody has an interest.
Also, men, I don't care if you're really looking at this, what we see now. You know, I get heavy. My heart gets heavy, I'll tell you sometimes, and I realized, and I say, well, if Wayne can do it, if you can come to the mic. I mean, because, you know, we're not speaking a very popular. I don't think we're going to be the most popular broadcast on the Internet. So, but, you know, we only got 2 minutes. So, you know, I'd like to close here, and then we have a guest here. And after I want to see if we can talk with the guest, because he's got a program. As a matter of fact, it's Alan Bailey. He's on. I met Alan Bailey on Lori's Talk News Radio, and he's been broadcasting and giving a message every Tuesday. And so Alan has been a great encouragement to me sometimes when I look at some of this history. I say, is it important? Is this history important? And it is important to understand the real founding and to be able to look out and see where we are today as a nation, to examine ourselves. So with this, I'm going to be closing off here. And I have a website at granddesign.com, and you can go to Grand Design Exposed and click on the Jesuit Connection to 1776, and you can get Wayne's website, and you can get Yerk's YouTube and my webpage. So, hey, would you like to say something in closing, Wayne?
I encourage anybody to give me a call if they have a desire. My number is 828-494-9368. My website's avenueoflight.com. It is crucial to understand these things, to understand where we are in history. And it's sad to see the state that the people are in. And believe me, my heart weeps for them also. But it's a tiring uphill grind to sit here and try to wake them up. They're so, so entrenched and indoctrinated in these falsehoods. And that's why they're in churchianity every day of the Sunday, not the seventh-day Sabbath, the true fourth commandment. And that was given to Moses twice, and it was given at creation once. So there's three witnesses of the seventh day. It's very crucial, folks. And people said, oh, the law was done away with. Yeshua said, if you love me, keep my commandments. If you love me, keep my commandments. Feed my sheep. Peter, lovest thou me? Feed my lambs. Thank you, folks. And may Messiah bless you each and every single one. Thank you.
Bye for now.
Bye.